My name is Paul Marshall. I am a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, where I work in the Center for Religious Freedom. My background is a varied one. My first career was as a geologist, an exploration geologist. And then I went back to school, did more studies, and became a professor of political theory, political thought. About 15 years ago, I was very taken up with the issue of religious freedom because of the amount of religious persecution, religious violence around the world. So I started working in Washington, D.C., firstly at Freedom House, now at Hudson, on issues of religious freedom. And both in terms of documenting it, I've edited two world surveys of religious freedom. We didn't do the entire world, but about 100 countries. And also, a couple of years ago, I edited a book, Blind Spot, whose subtitle is When Journalists Don't Get Religion. That I realized that one reason that religious freedom issues don't get the coverage they should is that many journalists, and here I mean Western journalists, are not aware of the importance of religion in shaping people's lives in all their dimensions, so they often just miss it. If you look at the three Abrahamic religions, that's over half the population of the world there right now. Relations between these three are fundamental, they're central. We do need to agree on this, that we will deal with the disagreements peacefully by talking, or by disagreeing at times, or by arguing, and doing that civilly. To live at peace with your neighbor, you don't necessarily have to agree with them on very much. You just have to agree that you will live at peace with each other, and you will seek to love each other. And almost everything else about them you might disagree with. So I think civil coexistence, respecting the rights of others, and a commitment to solving differences peacefully, I think these are key. The way you quoted before, there's no compulsion in religion.
Yeah.
And one reason for that, if I can put it this way, I think I learned is that our beliefs are not subject to our will. You cannot immediately decide to believe something. If I say to you something, believe this, well, you can't make yourself do it.
No.
You can't immediately disbelieve something. What we believe is something we just can't decide. That's why compulsion is wrong. Because you can't compel a person to do something they can't. Say, believe this. If a person is going to believe something, then they need to think about it. They need to study. These things, something can happen quickly, but you can be persuaded by something. That works. But you can't suddenly decide to drop a belief or add one. It's not in our own power. We're actually powerless in that sense, except by careful understanding and attention. So this is why compulsion doesn't work. It makes hypocrites.
Exactly.
You know, you can't make a person believe something. You could probably make them say they believe it. You know, you point a gun at their head, people may say, yes, I believe this. But all you've done is made a hypocrite. Their heart hasn't changed. So I think it's the nature of faith, it's the nature of belief itself, that it cannot be compelled. That's why you shouldn't try to do that. So, and again, I think the question of open conversation and respect is key. A lot of Muslim countries have borrowed some of the worst things from the Western world, which is where communist ideology began. It took its root in Russia and China and other places outside, but you have the effect of communism, and that's had a destructive past there. Also, European fascism.
Yes.
You know, groups like the Ba'ath Party under Saddam Hussein, and even in Syria with the Assads. These people are really just dictators. I mean, the ideology, they'll pick whichever one helps them stay in power. But the Ba'athists were pretty well fascist in outlook, and you know, learned from European fascism with the Italians and the Germans. Another one has been nationalism, that, you know, seeing yourself as a distinct people, either you have common ancestors or you speak a distinct language. And, you know, nations exist. But the idea that a state, a government, just represents that one nation. You know, as you know, in pretty well every country, there are religious minorities, there are ethnic minorities, people who are not of the nation. So nationalism, in its mild forms, can be okay, but in its strong forms, again, that's another Western export, and that's had its effect, has had its effects. So, one thing I would say to people in the Middle East is be very careful what you pick up from the West. And I think it's significant that the examples I mentioned are sort of quasi-religions. Speaking as a Christian, I think this would be true for Muslims, for Jews, for others. You can never make a political ideology the deepest thing in your life. Otherwise, it's a false god. It's a quasi-religion. So that I think one of the tendencies in the Middle East, when people have moved away from Islam, they've tried to take a political ideology, yes, which tries to make itself a religion, that is, explain everything, rather than just take, say, well, we just try and answer a few basic questions about how we run countries. So beware of political religions. That would be another thing to say. In terms of Christian views of end times, we are in the end times. So I'm often telling Christians, when I lecture on this subject too, that the way you prepare for the end times, the way you live in that, is to do the work God has given you to do. To the Turkish public, let me just say I've been to Turkey several times and love the land, love the people, and love the food. All that's true, and I plan to be going again. And again, I would emphasize a point I've emphasized quite a bit here. We don't necessarily have to agree on that much. What is key is we don't fight physically. We don't try to put people in prison, hit people, kill people because of the differences. But we respect one another and argue about those differences. Be willing to say, no, I disagree. I think that's wrong. I would take a different view. There's absolutely no problem with that. The question is, you do so peacefully. We have civic respect for each other and deal with our differences in peace.
Can you say a few words for Channel A9? This is the first anniversary of TV Channel A9.
Oh, to Channel A9, happy first anniversary, and may you have many others.